Welcome to AMD Tech Talk, your source for the latest in data center innovation and insight on AMD's latest technology breakthroughs. And now here's your host, Jim Green.
Thanks for listening today. Our guest is Robert Hubbard, Vice President of Sales and Alliances at Radius AI. Robert, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Super excited to be here. Appreciate it.
Fantastic. Robert, just to get us started, let's build some background here. For those of us that aren't aware of Radius AI's role and solutions in the retail marketplace, can you please introduce a little bit about the company and its foundation and its mission?
Yeah, absolutely. So the company was founded in 2017, and I've been with the company that whole time as one of the early advisors on the board. Recently moved over here to become VP of Sales and Alliances as they're sort of hitting second gear with their scale out. But the company is an interesting story. They started back in the day doing transportation analytics with cameras. So looking at intersections and highways and whatnot. And during a lot of those conversations with municipalities and departments of transportation, the electric vehicle, autonomous vehicle conversation kept coming up, which led a lot of customers to them looking for gas station analytics. So it kind of led them into the retail space. The behavior of customers, you know, if you're charging an EV for an hour versus filling up your gas tank in 10 minutes. And they just found the demand was so high for all of that, that they shifted their focus about 4.5 years ago. So yeah, it's an interesting story. I think that the company at this point has started to really hit afterburners with some pretty key wins. So we're excited. I'm excited to be here.
Great. You've been involved in some really interesting use cases along the way. It's interesting to see the evolution of that. So let's talk about the transformation in that evolution. So retail, totally being transformed by AI capabilities here. The opportunities are pretty broad. How do you see, from your perspective, how do you see some of these changes disrupting the industry? And where are we on that journey? The beginning, middle, end?
I think we're really sort of in the beginning of it. And there's a number of reasons for that. With COVID, with the other things that have happened, a lot of folks are now getting back out there and going to brick and mortar stores. But on top of that, if you look at a lot of the bigger players like the Targets, the Walmarts, even some of the convenience stores, they're experiencing issues with shrink, right? And shrink is connected to theft, wasted opportunities, lost opportunities, think food and things like that, where you waste your inventory. So they're all kind of looking at how do we address shrink, which is hurting the bottom line and profitability. And so that's one aspect of it. The other sort of more public situation is that a lot of people don't like self-checkout. They think it's impersonal. My mom, for example, won't go to a self-checkout area. She's like, if I'm going to bag my own groceries, they should be paying me. You hear all these things. Yeah. And it just hasn't really become something that's a benefit to the consumer. So I think a lot of them think about that. At the same time, retail is changing and trying to capitalize on the momentum shifts going on in the economy. Fast food costs have gone through the roof. The C-stores are realizing that and trying to capitalize with better food offers, more things like that. And it really is paying off. If you look at the bigger players in just the convenience store areas, the Wawa's, the KC's, all of them, they're all leading with food growth, right? New brands. You see people doing things like licensing the name Godfather Pizza or stuff like this I've seen, right? And it's because they know that when it's $18 to $20 for a combo meal at the fast food drive-thru, they have an opportunity to combine all of that in one experience and one checkout. So there's a lot of pressures going on with that. Some upcoming standards and things that are coming up, right? You've got the barcode that may be a dinosaur here pretty soon. Going to a QR code, which has a lot of other information about supply chain and lot and even item. So being able to check out that product and knowing exactly where it came from keeps you in line with regards to recalls and stuff like that. There's a lot of things coming that is going to require they change it anyway. And most of them are like, look, this should just be a better customer experience. It's not that great. So that's what's driving a lot of the pressure.
A lot of these are great examples of using information, intelligence going further out to the edge. Can you pick a couple of use cases and describe some of those data flows and walk us from data collection to inferencing?
Yeah. So if you look at any given retail environment, right, you've got the POS system, you've got the ERP system of that sort of enterprise. You're thinking in some cases, 10,000 stores. It's a very heavily involved environment with regards to not only like device management and that kind of thing. That's just table stakes, but there's a lot of data. And there's a lot of data at the edge that maybe even the enterprise teams haven't thought about. You got enterprise data warehouse teams looking at SAP and Teradata and these types of players at the core. And they're all realizing like, hey, we can do supply chain. We can look at economics and things like that from a macro perspective. But when you really get into the edge, there's a lot of really good upside there to be had, right? Everything from localized economics, suppliers, diversity of products, a lot of that kind of stuff is what they want to capitalize on, right? So you don't have the same offers that you would in Southern Cal that you would have in Wisconsin, right? There's a lot of cool opportunities there. And when you look at analytics and you look at the ability to execute and take advantage of that opportunity, they've not really drawn the line to the edge, right? So all the core analytics guys, the guys who are doing the big data stuff in the headquarters, are trying to get a hold of the edge data. It just helps them with all their BI work that they're doing and trying to drive that forward. But the serious use cases that we're typically involved in right now are around checkout. A lot of that has to do with the speed of checkout, the diversity of products during checkout. Oh, and when you really look at the checkout experience, it's complicated and somewhat cumbersome, but we really focus on the metrics of how fast does that transaction take? What kind of data will the store get to have after that whole day is concluded? What happened? Where did the customer begin their journey? Where did they end their journey? What are the product affinities, right? So if you pick up a Red Bull, did you get a beef jerky? The funny one that my engineers always like to say is that when people buy diapers, they often buy beer. But a lot of that kind of stuff is unbelievably valuable, not only to the store owners, to the retailers, but to the upstream category managers and CPG manufacturers. If you go into a convenience store now, you'll see all kinds of new like Reese's and things that you've never seen before, like Earth Day cake Kit Kats or something. Well, they're experimenting with all these things. And if they can get the feedback of like, wow, that one offer is just selling like hotcakes in this state during this time of year. So we know if we make those and put them out there, we're going to blow it out on sales. Then they've got variable promotion times. So you may not get a 2-for-1 special at noon, but you'll get one at 8 o'clock at night. All of that kind of stuff factors into how do we really maximize the opportunity with these new customers moving away from fast food drive-thru that are walking into a convenience store and all those types of things, right? In general, there's loads of insights and it's a matter of what that specific retailer is chasing.
So the space you just mentioned from front end to back end is enormous. How does Radius AI differentiate the solutions you bring to market?
I lived in Japan for a few years. They have a saying there that they don't invent many things, but they perfect them, which is very true. Although Radius was an early company with regards to having a video AI solution in the market, what we've realized is that some of the basics, just the basics matter the most. I'd say the one thing that stands us apart, and we like to say that we're not doing self-checkout, we're doing assisted checkout. Or AI-assisted checkout. But the bottom line is, customers don't like being off down the row to check out by themselves with nobody around. We've all had that experience of walking around a store looking for somebody to help you, wait here, the attendant will come find you, all this monkey business. And I think a lot of the stores, when they say they want to rethink checkout, yes, they want to address shrink, and yes, they want to address the customer experience, but they, in general, want to put their customers back with their staff in some areas. So if you go to a convenience store, and you need to buy cigarettes, alcohol, lottery tickets, whatever it is, age verification, that should be quick and seamless, right? If I'm turning a transaction that would normally take me 1 minute into like a 10-minute endeavor trying to find somebody, that's just money thrown out the window. So we really focused on the design of our product being a two-party product, meaning that there's somebody on the other side of the counter. It's basically a countertop experience, just like you're used to. If you go into some stores, you know, the self-checkout, and I say self-checkout, meaning the wrong way to do it, might be several yards away from the store staff. If anybody's in there fumbling around, they got to go all the way around the countertop and get all the way over there to them. It's frustrating for them and it's frustrating for the customer. And what we hear from the customers, from our owners, is that, you know, the people that we sell to that own the convenience store chains and the retailers, is that not only do we want to make the customer happy, we want to make our employees happy. This is frustrating for them to have to fool with all this stuff. So is there a variable comp plan available for a staff member in a store? What if somebody knew they could earn extra money by promoting products or helping with metrics in the store, making sure that the floor is clean, making sure the bathrooms are clean, just really getting out there and engaging with the customers? That's the way you keep those staff members. If you or I were going to work at store A versus store B, and store B let me earn extra money, I'm probably going to go to store B. So they're like, hey, that's how we address attrition, is we put these types of offers out there for employees. And so we really want to have and take advantage of rethinking checkout with the assisted checkout offer, right? It shouldn't be painful and somebody should be there for you when you need it. And it should just be like you've always done it, nice and smooth, but faster.
Yeah, it's not about taking the person out of the procedure. It's making them more effective in the process.
Exactly.
And beyond. So I know Radius AI and AMD have collaborated on some of those solution offerings in the past. Do you have any details you could share about some areas where it really makes sense to bring the hardware and software together and drive co-innovation?
Yeah, so we do have some hardware things that we do, but for the most part, we're an ISV and we're in the AI space. It's extremely intensive. I'm not unlike others in that I'm looking for horsepower at the edge. What might be a little bit different and what the trends are sort of indicating, you see the analysts talking about it a lot, is that this is like a thick client moment where people are trying to put a lot of technology out there. As brick and mortar comes back and as consumers get back out there, they want to change that experience and it needs to be dynamic. And there's some pretty intense hardware needs, right? You're talking about trillions of operations a second that are north of 80. So when you have to deal with, let's say, 15,000 products in a checkout environment, and you want to check out six products in less than a second, I need to process a half a dozen items, transact them, and sort through my library of items in 800 milliseconds is our goal. That's not an easy lift. So obviously, AMD is a key partner. We use your products, obviously, on the CPU side, keeping a keen eye on the other technologies you guys have coming down the pipe. But with your market share and the things that you guys do, yeah, I'd say we're hoping Moore's Law catches up so that we can have more performance in a smaller package as much as possible. That's what we need.
Lower power, yes.
Yeah.
Fans, yes.
Absolutely.
Very nice. Yes.
Yeah.
So where's this all going? Where's the industry headed and how do you plan to be part and lead that journey?
We're a peripheral to what's happening in the sort of bigger shifts in retail. If you look at retail and where it's headed, the barcode is going to go away. It's not going to be around by 2027. The goal is to shift off of it. And you're going to see things change. There's a lot of things. There's a standard out by GS1. They set the standards for what a barcode is. There's an actual nomenclature to that. Well, they're changing that to the QR code. You get one-dimensional, two-dimensional barcodes. It's going to go to QR codes in 2027. So every machine has to be replaced. That's number one. But at the same time, all of the data that's in that QR code is staggering. You're talking about, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I'll say it again. They want to be able to track an individual product through its entire supply chain. If there's a recall, if there's anything that is going on, that QR code at the time of transaction, you would know out of this lot, these individual items have been sold. These are being recalled. Capture the rest of them. All of that type of stuff. So you got that big shift going on, which is just the way we transact. At the same time, you've got the classic sort of legacy players in this space that aren't innovating. They're kind of slow. They've got the majority of the market share. I'll leave them nameless, but we all know who they are. When you check out in a store, you typically see their name on the pin pad. At the end of the day, they're expensive and slow, and customers are saying, we need new stuff. I want innovation. I want you to be faster. I want this to be a more attractive situation. And the back office is re-engineering all at the same time. So you've got your supply chain inventory system changing. You've got your vendors that are kind of bugging you a little because they're not keeping up with the times. And then you've got the actual store platform itself. The POS systems and the ERP systems are all rapidly innovating to take advantage of all this stuff, right? They're all trying to jockey to catch that new QR code data set that's coming out. But at the same time, a lot of our large customers are saying, hey, we want to go open systems. I don't want to be held in this subscription nightmare where everything I need is an extra fee. We're going to build our own. I've seen folks literally say, we're going to build our own. And or I'm going to go connect with some of these new startups on the open system side because they're innovating faster. There's more API capabilities that I can go out and find other ISVs like Radius AI to make my situation different. It's just a classic example of IT needing faster innovation. We all seen this happen countless times, right? That's where the mainframe turned into Unix, turned into Intel. Slow and expensive gets gobbled by fast and more affordable. And that's what's coming. It's a tsunami. And I think it's not going to stop for the next several years.
Well, it is an exciting space. Where can people find out a little bit more about your technology and your company and connect with your team?
I really appreciate that. Obviously, radius.ai is the website that you go to. You'll see that we're pulling in some pretty key industry veterans there, folks that have been on the standards committees, folks that have been around this space for a long time. A lot of people are kind of realizing, wow, the new guys have what we need. And so it's a good opportunity. But yeah, come check us out. We'll be at some upcoming trade shows. We'll be at NACS. We'll be at NRF. But obviously the easiest way to find us is on our website.
Very nice. Thanks a lot for sharing your insights with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And thanks to our audience for listening as we talk tech. Until next time.
Thanks for joining AMD Tech Talk. Find out more about the technologies discussed today at www.amd.com.